If you missed Will Dawkins last hour, I think we'll play some of that back for you in the final hour of the show. Joining us right now is actually one of my favorites. We have talked about Monica on the show here and there over the last couple of years. Monica McNutt from ESPN. She is also a terrific game analyst on the Knicks radio network. She's from here, grew up in PG County, went to Holy Cross over in North Bethesda, Kensington, played at Georgetown for 4 years, and now has been not only, you know, what you do with the Knicks, but a part of all of those ESPN morning shows, especially during basketball season. And I texted you this, and I was being honest. I think what you did the last two nights, interviewing families and players after they get selected, is one of the hardest things to do because they're so emotional. The parents aren't used to it. They typically are nervous. You know, the players are super young, and I just thought you did such a great job with that. But do you agree with me that that is a hard thing to do?
First of all, Kevin, thank you. And yes, God, yes, it is. It is one of my favorite assignments at ESPN, and this year marks my fourth year in that position. So I do have the benefit of some reps behind me. But it's really tricky because we spend, you know, the week preparing. We've got media day the day before. And you could end up throwing everything you prepared out of the window. Like, it's a really sensitive read in terms of what and how best to meet the moment, but right, in a respectful way. Like, I'll share with you candidly, I was a little nervous about the Kamon Malawach interview. It was one of my favorites, but I hoped that I paid that young man respect. Like, I'm mindful of, like, stereotypes and all that kind of crazy stuff. But I got some notes from some folks that worked with him at NBA Africa that thought it was just a great moment for him. And we did that well. So, yeah, it's really sensitive. And it's pressure. And it's literally, Kevin, it's like 45 seconds of the broadcast. But it is one of the more memorable moments. And so, yeah, it's plenty of pressure. But you know what? We don't run from pressure, Kevin. You can't pressure.
Well, I know.
And pressure burst fight.
And you handle it well. I mean, you're a shooter. I know that about you.
There you go.
I know you're ready to fire when you get the opportunity. But I always think in those positions on those nights, the people doing that have a much more difficult job than the viewers know. And it's really, like you said, it's very tricky. I thought, by the way, the Malawach was phenomenal. I really enjoyed VJ Edgecombe, who immediately kind of protected his mother. Did you notice that?
I love that. But again, to that point, I love that. But I was like, ooh, wrong tenor. But I think it was a good moment to show that he's got his mom's back. And I thought his brother added such great context in terms of watching VJ when they were at those parks in the Bahamas years and years ago. And VJ was another one that was one of my favorites. I think if we just rattle off my favorites real quick, the Wolf family was fantastic. His mom, Tina, was just over the top. But she had been over the top and so joyful the entire night, not just during that interview. I kind of liked Ace Bailey. I thought he's got some swag to him. Obviously, there were a lot of questions about that young man. I think Liam McNeely is one that really kind of registered as we're closing out the night, and he's waiting to hear his name called. So it was a good night.
You know, in his mother, too, which you saw, you know, throughout the tournaments the last couple of years. You know what is interesting is when on draft night, and look, you know, you come from really good athletic stock. I think, you know, you get to a certain point in life and you realize if both parents are athletes, the kid's got a pretty good shot. But it's just that the high percentage of these first rounders whose parents were both athletes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what, Kevin? And you've been in sports, one of our voices in D.C. for years, so you know this too. Even if both parents are great, the probability to get there, right?
Yeah, of
it's
course.
Still so
of course.
Slim. And like, yeah. I think talking to those moms, but both parents, but moms in particular, because so many of the guys reference their mom putting the ball in their hands, which I love. Shout out to women that hoop. I hope I got a son that gets drafted one day. We'll see what happens. But I think them saying, I just hoped my son loved it, or I just wanted him to connect. Like, them being able to say that, like, look, I don't know how this is going to go, but I honor a sport that I love and I want my son to love and let the chips fall where they may. Like, it really is one of my favorite assignments for sure.
Yeah, well, by the way, let me just mention one more, and that is who the Wizards picked at number 6. Trey Johnson and his father were great.
Oh,
and Trey Johnson,
one of our favorite interviews.
Yeah. Yeah, because his sense of humor about his father trying to, you know, act as if he were a bit younger, that was funny.
That was a good one, for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's, before we talk about the draft, let's go back to, you know, Sunday night and the completed NBA season. Do you think if Tyrese Halliburton doesn't go down and that he plays game 7 healthy, Indiana wins?
I do not. I think it is a more compelling game, but I do not. I was in a unique position going into the finals, and, you know, at ESPN were asked for our selections and such. The Pacers are damn good, and, like, we all see it now in hindsight. But I'd watched that series with the Knicks up close and personal, and they were better than the Knicks. They're faster, they're younger, they're more energized. They were good. And so as I was picking the series, Kevin, I'm like, don't be a prisoner of the moment. Like, you were more focused on this one. You weren't able to focus as hard on the OKC one. Like, don't be a prisoner of the moment. OKC in 6. And I thought I was being respectful of the OKC in 6. But I say all that to say the Pacers proved what I felt in my gut, that they were very good and they were going to challenge a historic defense. But I believe in defense standing tall ultimately. And I think the Pacers have a defense that deserved more credit. And so I think in game 7, it would have been more compelling. But I think that Dagnall and those guys had a few more chips to play. And I think SGA's ceiling as an MVP, finals MVP, scoring leader, I think he had a little bit more of a level to take it. Whereas I think we'd seen the best from Tyrese so far.
Yeah, look, I was an idiot. I thought the Thunder would win easily. I picked them in 5. I think they're the best defensive team I've watched this time of year, playoff time, in forever. And I didn't think the Pacers had faced anything like that against the Knicks or even the Cavs. But the Indiana, you know, obviously showed that they were ready for it. Where do you come down on, is this the beginning of a dynastic run? Are they going to be in finals, plural, and are they going to win championships, plural, over the next, you know, 5-plus years?
I guess the asterisk we have to put on that is assuming everybody stays healthy, right?
Yeah, of course.
I think this is a group that we're going to see a couple of times over the next 5 years. Do I think that they will run off back-to-back? I don't know. Trend says that's not going to happen. We have 7 different champions in the last 7 seasons. But I think the youth of this group makes them unique and poised in a way that, yeah, we thought Denver and Boston might do the same thing, but they weren't as young as this team. Now, I will be curious as they grow up and as they start thinking about second contracts. And it is sort of the life cycle of an NBA player. Even the best of guys have a business mind because they have a finite amount of time that they can be in this space. I am curious what those sort of demands, how that might play out on their interpersonal relationships. But we'll just have to wait and see. But I do think this is a team that's going to be a force in the West for a few years to come.
You know, one quick thing. If we don't get the Jason Tatum injury and the Celtics come back, which was a possibility, the Knicks played great in that series. Would the Celtics have beaten OKC in a best of 7, both teams being healthy?
I think so. And in fact, going through the season, I had OKC coming out of the West, but this was the one that you had flopped on a few times because of how good Boston is. But Boston was good on both sides of the ball. And I just kept thinking back to the play-in tournament or the in-season tournament, excuse me, let me use the proper language, and what the Bucks were able to do to the Oklahoma City Thunder and thought that the Celtics would be able to do the same. Now, I think the Thunder grew exponentially, not mixing two words, from the time of the in-season tournament. But I think at its healthiest, Boston can get you on both sides of the ball, and they had offensive firepower that I don't know that OKC would have been able to keep up with.
If I told you next year Oklahoma City went through the season healthy and they weren't in the finals representing the West, which team would it be playing in the finals next year from the West? I mean, we haven't gone through free agency, I understand that, but do you have a gut feel for who it will be the biggest contender to OKC next year?
All right, follow me here. Uh-huh. The first answer is actually Golden State for me. But the answer that I want to be, like, brilliant on is Dallas, because Dallas will, in theory, be healthy minus Kyrie. They will find a serviceable point guard to hold the line in that position, but they will also have a defense that was as tough as the OKC defense. And we are going to enter a 3-year window where depth and defense kind of runs the league. And Dallas, to me, as I look at the West, is the team most poised to match up with what OKC was able to do.
we really did see a postseason where defense dominated. I had Mike Wilbon on the show the other day. He told me that there was a conscious effort, and basically the word went out, they were going to let them play in this postseason. They were going to let them be physical. They were going to let them grab and hold. And we saw that. You know, going back to that Rockets-Warriors series was so intense and so chippy. This is maybe the era we're in, is the best defenses are going to win.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been in the draft hole, Kevin, but you know what? I'd also add Houston to that mix for that exact reason. Yeah,
exactly.
Right? The pieces that Houston traded, to me, were not their stoutest. The Dylan Brooks trade, I was kind of sad to see, I'll be honest, because I think he added to the edge and was a kid that added to the image of Ime Udoka, right? But they still got Tari Eason. The Thompson kid is going to be terrific on defense. And then you add KD as a sharpshooter. I think particularly in the West, it's going to be fascinating to watch because you've got, if you will, the faces of the league on that side, right, who have always been high-powered offensively. But candidly, we're seeing them begin to slow down. And we know that when guys slow, typically the side that takes the hit is defense, right? When you talk about Steph, Jimmy Butler, LeBron, even the Clippers guys to a degree, right? But if you still got a feisty defense, especially in an era where we're scoring so much and you're getting up and down the floor, but if you could come up with stops, like, I mean, that's just where we at. And we know this thing is such a copycat league and very cyclical.
Yeah. We're talking to Monica McNutt from ESPN. You know, you mentioned Golden State, and I'm like one of these massive Jimmy Butler fans. But this postseason was weird when Steph got hurt. I mean, he almost was a non-participant at times on offense. And we saw that actually in a couple of games when the Heat made the finals against Denver a few years back. What do you think the deal is with some of those games where you're like, you've got to take more shots. You have to, we need 40 from you tonight.
Do you remember the KD Charles Barkley bus driver thing?
Vaguely.
Okay, so I guess Charles Barkley made some comment about, you know, it costs to be the bus driver.
Right.
And KD is like, bro, like, I won championships. So basically he was saying that KD is not the primary driver. He's a passenger on the bus.
Exactly.
A very important passenger, whatever. Honestly, and I just think it's a funny analogy, but like it can still signify a ton of respect. But I'm watching Jimmy Butler emerge at this point in his career, and I had that thought. Like, are you a bus driver or a passenger? And I think honesty is hugely important in all of our lives, but even in sport. Jimmy went to Golden State planning to support Superman, as he has called it,
right,
in Stephen Curry. And when that changed, I just don't know how much of the runs that we've all marveled at were sort of capturing lightning, and Jimmy was just on a heater versus, like, is he a number one guy? And I don't want to get super first takey on us, Kevin, but those were my thoughts as I was watching that unfold.
Look, I don't think that's crazy. It's just that, you know, he had 56 in a playoff game. He went for like 56 and 40 something in back-to-back games, you know, when they took out the Celtics that year. It was like, it was insane. The playoff Jimmy, you know, guy versus what you saw in the regular season. I just thought it was odd. By the way, you didn't mention Denver or Minnesota. And why not?
I think, well, one, maybe sometimes I'm an idiot. But Denver, to me, I just think for as good as Nikola Jokic is, I'm really starting to wonder about the supporting cast there.
Yeah, well, they were injured. I mean, you know, Porter Jr. was injured. Gordon got hurt late in that series, which was a 7-game series, which, as you know, Denver was like 3 minutes away in game four from taking a 3-1 lead.
Correct. I think, yes, those injuries are, I think, important to point out this year. But I just think in general, I'm starting to wonder about that supporting cast. I think when the group that won the championship, they had, again, same kind of thing with OKC. First of all, let's all be very honest. Winning is very hard. It is very delicate, right? They got a different head coach. Some of those veteran guys that knew their role and excelled in their role are gone. When I think of that supporting cast, yeah, AG is great, but I think Michael Porter Jr. has been inconsistent at best.
Yep.
Jamal Murray, I like, and I just think as great as Jokic is, the league, teams that, as we talk about teams that can defend, are like, cool, we'll let him have 40 and limit the assist to 10. And, like, I just think there's a little bit of a formula coming in terms of how to slow Denver down, and I don't know that they've proven that they can take it to the next step. I guess I'm just a little bit hesitant on Denver.
Did you grow up?
Minnesota. I think for Minnesota, I don't know, Kevin. You got them getting back a third consecutive time. Like, is it, like, I don't think it's, I just think it's not that easy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. This postseason was wild. OKC was the best team, but they were very close to being eliminated by Denver, then dominated Minnesota. Minnesota dominated the Lakers. I think the Rockets, actually, out of all the teams with what they didn't have, which was somebody who could score, are the team to watch. Amen Thompson is looks like a superstar in the making. Did you grow up a Wizards fan?
So I had an interesting relationship with the Wizards because they were bad for much of my youth.
Right.
And as you know, a basketball hooping hotbed, as we will, I legit remember being like, I can't root for the Wizards. They're terrible. And we have so much better basketball here. So in theory, I was not excited about it. But yes, I followed the team and they're certainly my home team now. Wizards, I was all about the Mystics though. MCI Center, Mystics first season, like all about it.
Yeah, well, you know, because you're from here, this is as much as it's a, you know, football, Washington Commanders, Washington Redskins, Washington football team town. At its core, this is a basketball city, you know, the ground roots, you know, through high school and the two power programs with Maryland and Georgetown as well. So a couple more and I'll let you run and I appreciate it. Do you think Cooper Flagg is going to be a transcendent franchise changing kind of player?
Do you think Scottie Pippen was that type of player?
Well, coming out, I didn't know.
Okay. But we all agree, like a Hall of Fame career, like when it's all said and done, I don't know that I got Cooper being like centerpiece in the way that I think Victor Wembanyama will be, but I definitely have him being a Scottie on a great team, a guy that's like an undeniable piece in it all. But yeah, I think we're in for a lot of fun when it comes to this young man. And I just think from talking to him and talking with his family, like his compete level, as we've coined the phrase, is discussed a lot. But he's also very much a sponge, like just wants to learn the game of basketball, like, and continue to learn it at the highest level and then go out there and compete with his knowledge. I think that's important.
How did the Wizards do? Do you think?
So Trey Jones, as we were going through tape and prepping for him, I was a big fan. Now, I think beyond the draft night, I'm still trying to figure out the trade and like what is the plan moving forward. But Kevin, you noticed we watched that organization sit through Beal years too long, and so at least I'm encouraged that they're like, what can we do to make progress now? And so I'm excited to see. You just had Will on. You tell me, because I didn't hear. What was Will talking about?
I mean, he's a shooter. He's clearly a shooter. He's fearless. He's a high-level, high-motor competitor. I think he loves him. I think he really likes the player they got at 21, Will Riley. He said if he had gone back to Illinois, this would have been a top five-ish pick next year.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So he really likes him. But you know this. Who knows? I mean, nobody really knows when they're 18 or 19. It's so hard to figure out. Thanks for doing this. Really good to hear your voice. You're doing an excellent job. Take care. Hope to do it with you again soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you, Kevin. Have a good weekend.
Monica McNutt, everybody. At McNutt Monica on X on Twitter. A DMVer, a Georgetown Hoya, and she's doing a great job on ESPN and excellent as a game analyst on the Knicks radio network. All right, we've got some football to talk about. We'll do that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.